Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. There is not a title in the bulletin, but the title today for this sermon is simply, His Word Does Stuff. Today's gospel lesson is taken from the very first chapter of St. Mark. And if you summarize the Gospel of Mark, it really describes Jesus as a man on a mission. I like to picture it as a military mission, like those out of the annals of World War II. In fact, if you look at all the Lord's earthly activities in the Gospel of Mark, it sort of reminds me of those first 5 minutes of Saving Private Ryan when they hit the beaches at Normandy. D-Day was launched to liberate France and ultimately to bring the fight to Hitler on his own German soil. Mark reads like that. Mark skips Jesus' birth and those details, and it jumps straight to his baptism. And this is because our Savior's birth marks the beginning of his mission, to save the world and to rescue it from the forces of evil. Coming up out of the waters of baptism, much like a soldier on those beaches of Normandy wading ashore out of a landing craft, Jesus would enter the war to liberate us from sin and death and the devil. Now, Mark uses a word some 50 times in this gospel, and the word is straightway. Straightway means immediately or at once or without delay. And it also means by the most direct route. It conveys a sense of urgency, the urgency that Jesus has as he sets out on this mission to defeat the forces of evil. Now, we're not very far into chapter 1, but last week we already see 3 times where this word gets used. Mark will say, and straightway Jesus came up out of the water at baptism. And straightway he was led into the wilderness by the Spirit to be tempted of the devil. And after he had enlisted the apostles, it says, and straightway they left their nets to follow him. I kind of think of that word straightway in the Greek New Testament like the German word blitzkrieg, meaning lightning war. Blitzkrieg described those German panzer divisions as they rolled across Europe with lightning speed into Poland and Belgium and France to conquer those little nations with little resistance. Straightway is Mark's way of saying that the Son of God would waste no time in entering into combat with the devil. With boots on the ground, a military expression, the Savior sent from heaven would immediately encounter heavy resistance from the demonic realm already in chapter 1. As if Jesus were executing a military plan, Mark's gospel uses the word straightway to describe something that Jesus does suddenly, as with an element of surprise, to catch the enemy off guard. And that's where we come to our text for today. And this is what it says. And straightway, that is, wasting no time, Jesus went into the synagogue and began teaching. Now, for us, teaching is just talking. And talking to us sounds more like an act of diplomacy than an act of war. And yet, not for the Lord. For the Lord's word was the weapon that Jesus chooses to deliver us from evil. You have to remember, this is not a conventional warfare. Our enemies are not flesh and blood combatants. For the Bible says we battle against the spiritual forces of evil and the powers of this dark world. And so Jesus launches his first surprise attack in that synagogue upon the demonic powers by immediately entering into that synagogue to teach the truth that sets men free. If we were going onto the battlefield, I'm sure our weapon of choice would probably not be words. We would prefer guns or grenades or live rounds of ammunition. That's because we don't think of words as doing much. Words seem rather harmless compared to tanks and to bombs. But in reality, the Bible tells us that God's word has the power to demolish spiritual strongholds, those things that hold us captive all throughout our lives to the fear of death. God's holy word is very effective against the evil one. Jesus' words actually do stuff. They deliver us from evil. It's not surprising that Mark's gospel would stress Jesus' power over evil in the first chapter and all throughout this gospel. Because Mark's gospel was written to catechize Roman converts to Christianity. Men and women who belonged to the most powerful empire that the earth had ever known. Rome had the most powerful army in the world, and its Roman legions had conquered most of the known world. And so Romans related to power. They understood power. They respected power. And therefore, Mark would focus much of his gospel on the power that the Son of God possessed, a power even greater than Rome. We simply cannot overstate the power of our Lord's word and the power that it has in our lives. God's word has always had power, and it continues to have power. It has the power to convert our wayward hearts back to God again and again and again and again through faith in Jesus Christ. God uses his powerful word to deliver us from the dominion of darkness and to transfer us into his armored division, the kingdom of light, the kingdom of the Son whom he loves. It was the power and authority of God that those who were listening to Jesus in the synagogue noticed in Jesus' teaching. For instead of Jesus quoting rabbinic sources like other men and standing on the earthly opinions of other men, Jesus spoke differently. Jesus spoke directly with the full conviction that he is God and that he was speaking on behalf of God. And what made his words different was the people noticed his words had power. Power that would persuade their hearts to believe. As Jesus spoke about his Father in heaven in that synagogue, something amazing happened. Jesus began to win the battle for the hearts of men. And it didn't take long to draw a hostile response from the demonic realm. Apparently, the demons were well entrenched within that synagogue. An evil spirit possessing a man who was in the synagogue would cry out, "Have you come to destroy us? What do you have to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth?" Yes, the demon gets high marks because he knows that Jesus is indeed the Holy One of God. He rightly identifies Jesus. And yet I guarantee the Spirit doesn't blurt this out to honor Jesus or to advance faith in the gospel. But instead the demon, understanding better than we the significance of Jesus' presence on earth, says this to disarm Jesus. The evil spirit speaks to Jesus in a combative way. The demon's reply is roughly equivalent to him saying, "Jesus, you have no business with us yet. Wait your turn for these people. They are still ours for now." What the demon says about Jesus is not a confession of faith. It was an aggressive attempt to gain the spiritual upper hand. Now, in the occult, it has always been assumed that you can control a spirit, that you can gain control over another spirit by knowing and naming that spirit that you are either conjuring or confronting. And this was obviously the devil's attempt to control Jesus. But Jesus, using his powerful word, remember that word that does stuff, commands the spirit saying, "Be silent. Come out of him." And so the unclean spirit, convulsing within the man, crying out, is forced by the Lord's word, that word that does something, to come out of him. If you and I were ever to encounter such an evil spirit, and we were not under the protection of Jesus, let me tell you, that spirit could literally eat you and me alive. We would be no match for his demonic powers. And yet, even though this powerful evil spirit does everything that he can think of to oppose and resist our Lord, Jesus silences him with a word. Because, of course, we must remember, his word does stuff. Again, those listening to the exchange between the Lord and this demonic spirit were amazed, like we should be, at the power of Jesus' words. And they kind of turn to themselves and discuss it. They say, "What is this? I don't know what this is. This is a new teaching, and it possesses such authority that when Jesus speaks, it actually does stuff." They marvel and they say about Jesus, "Do you realize what we have just seen? With his words, Jesus commands the evil spirits, and they must obey him." Now, my friends, this is the beginning of the gospel, and Jesus had certainly not yet won the war. That war would only be won by his suffering and death on the cross and by his resurrection from the dead. This was just one of the first of the many skirmishes that Jesus had with evil. For the war that Jesus waged was a war of good against evil. And so the way that he would win the war was by doing good in spite of the evil opposition of men and of the devil. I wish we had the time to continue to read a little further in the Gospel of Mark, because here's what we would see. We would soon see Jesus heal Simon's mother-in-law of a serious fever. We would see Jesus cure a man of leprosy. We would see another miracle where Jesus would cause a paralytic man to rise up off a bed that he had lived on his whole life and walk for the first time. The Lord, speaking only his word, cured these diseases and cast out demons. And all of this happened through his powerful words, because his word does stuff. His word makes things happen. And sometimes we have forgotten that. But we need to remember that this same powerful word of Jesus Christ, the same word that cast out demons, the same word that cured incurable diseases, is still available to us. And it is still at work in those of you who believe. Yes, His word does stuff. And that's why we come here on Sunday morning, so that the Lord's word can work in us. And that's why we read His Bible during the week and in Bible study groups and on our own, because His word does stuff. Wherever His word is proclaimed, He must win the battle. He causes the righteousness that we have from God by faith in Jesus to advance and produce more and more believers like us. And that same word causes evil and unbelief to retreat in its path. This is the very same word that Pastor Wright and myself proclaim to you weekly. This is the very same word of Christ that can win your battles against sin and temptation. And this is the same word that will win the war for you against death and the devil. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.